Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Before we get into our program, let me thank our sponsors, which includes Novus International, leaders in the poultry, pork, beef, dairy, and aqua industries, as well as Leica Geosystems. When it has to be right, go to agguidance.com. In this week's program, I'm going to feature a couple of the interviews that I conducted at the recent National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Just to let you know that while I was there, I conducted a technology session. And in that session, we featured some new equipment that is out available for not only farm broadcasters, but pretty much anybody and any ag journalists, let's put it that way. In fact, one of those items that was donated to us that I was able to come away from the convention with is a new microphone. Well, actually, it's not all that new, but it certainly is to me. This is a microphone made by Blue Microphones. It's called the Yeti. That's Y-E-T-I. And it's a great looking mic. In fact, that's the one I'm using for this week's Zimcast. My first use of it. Hope it sounds okay. Just getting used to it. Takes a minimal setup and you're ready to go. And it's a USB mic, but they call it the ultimate USB mic. So that kind of was an opportunity that came out of working on a session for professional improvement for the farm broadcasters. I think everybody had a great time learning about some of these new pieces of equipment that we can use. As I have said in a number of presentations, I carry more transmitting power in my briefcase now than when I was a part owner in an AM radio station once upon a time. So getting to this week's program, I have a couple of interviews that I conducted during the Trade Talk session at the NAFB convention, and these are with two of our major national farm groups. The first one I'll share with you is with NCBA, and the second one with National Corn Growers Association. But first, let's look at National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I have Greg Dowd. He is the chief economist for them, and basically he's going to touch on what are some of the important issues that they're working on right now. And we'll do the same thing on the corn grower side after this interview with Greg.
Greg, I think what I would like to touch on, we've had a lot of discussion here about this proposed GPSA rule. I think we've kind of hit on that pretty good, and people understand what some of the actual facts and potential impacts of that are now, maybe a little better due to some of the research you guys worked on. But let's look at something else I think is real important to beef producers in light of our congressional outlook now, and that's in the area of things like the death tax. I think that's one that's kind of real key issue. Where do we stand on that right now?
Well, I think it hopefully is job one. As these guys come back to town, the old crew and then the new crew who are early next year. You know, my wife and I own a couple small businesses, and just speaking purely from my personal perspective, you know, the problem we have with our economy right now, I think more than anything else, is people are holding back because of the uncertainty of the potential tax liability and where we're heading in this country. If you have a small business and you don't know what's going to unfold here, you're holding a little money back. That means you're not investing, you're not spending money, you're not hiring people. We're kind of paralyzed right here. We have got to get this issue sorted out, so we can kind of unravel everything here and let this thing break loose and get to moving on with our businesses, making decisions, and growing our economy. So this is job one here. Whether and how much we get done in the lame duck, how much we get done early next year, it's hard to tell. But for farming and ranching, the top of that list is the estate tax, the death tax, because this thing reverts back to $1 million. And anything above that, a 55% tax, which is just absolutely prohibitive. We've got to get that fixed.
So, yeah, huge impact, absolutely no question about it. Another thing that maybe we could touch on just briefly, because I know it, again, from an economic standpoint, probably you've got some thoughts on this, is we certainly have seen corn prices rise, and that's, you know, it's good in ag from a one standpoint, one sector, but impacts another. When it comes to cattlemen, I mean, what are we looking at here, and what do you kind of see as we look ahead?
Well, from my perspective, if you're not scared to death about the corn market right now, you're not paying attention. This thing is a powder keg. And in fact, what's even crazier is the corn balance sheet isn't even the tightest balance sheet. The soybean balance sheet is. So we've got, you know, not only have we taken 800 million bushels of corn out of this balance sheet since August, we're selling soybeans on the corn side now. On the soybean side, we're selling soybeans to China like there's no tomorrow. And this sets up an enormous debate, just like we had in the spring of 2008 for acreage. In fact, one analysis I read here suggested that between cotton and corn and soybeans, we've got to have next spring an additional anywhere between 9 and 13 million acres to make this all balance out. How in the world are we going to do that? This, you know, and you look at what's going on in China right now, you begin to see these analysts talk about China needing corn, for heaven's sakes. You can go down and interview the Grains Council, they'll tell you about that. I'm really, really concerned about this topic because we have had a really great year in the cattle business. We could have had a fantastic year had this corn market not kind of gotten away from us here. But we're, you know, a guy talked to me once upon a time, what price does it take to ration demand if we have to ration it and pull back on these ethanol plants? A heck of a lot higher price than you think it is. Something well in excess of $6.50 a bushel.
Well, I don't know how it enters the equation because it's probably more out in the future, but I just was visiting with a company that's working on alternative feedstocks. It was specifically in the area of algae, which sounds like, I guess, holds some pretty good promise. But they're envisioning a world down the road where we may not be able, as you're saying, to feed corn. You know, well, what do you do then? And still have to feed people.
Well, you know, that's the great dilemma of our public policy in terms of ethanol is that there's no guarantee we raise this corn crop every year, year in and year out when we need it. Interesting thing I'm hearing from the hog guys right now is we're feeding actually less corn to livestock this year because the quality of corn, the density of the corn, the energy value of the corn is so much better than it was a year ago. In fact, that's one of the reasons they've told me recently the hog weights have just shot up here in the last couple of weeks, is they're feeding them new crop corn. And so they're actually saying we're cutting back, we don't even need about 8% of what we needed a year ago. And that's a huge number to me. That you know, the quality of the corn is different. There are all kinds of variables and things that go into that. But the point is, you know, over time, that's true, and we can make this transition. And algae is kind of an interesting technology. I'm more optimistic about that than I am cellulosic. But you've got to adapt to these year-to-year changes, and if you don't, it's really hard on the livestock industry.
Well, I really appreciate the comments here, looking at some of these economic impacts and things that cattle producers are facing as we look ahead. Been speaking here with Greg Dowd, Chief Economist for NCBA.
Turning to another farm group now, let's listen to an interview that I did with Gary Niemeyer with National Corn Growers Association. Gary is one of the officers, and just like Greg with NCBA, is going to talk about some of the main issues that they're facing right now.
I am visiting with the National Corn Growers Association and specifically Gary Niemeyer. And Gary, your first vice president, I'd love to get a little bit of perspective from you on some of those issues that are top of mind, top on the list that NCGA is working on behalf of its members.
Quite honestly, right now, we'd like to get a VTEC passed, and that's probably the top issue, and I'm going down the current list of things. Obviously, we have been working on this for quite some time, hopefully in this lame duck session. Maybe with a Bush tax cut proposal of some sort, we can get a vehicle to move this process forward.
Well, we have a lame duck session coming up here. I mean, is there some likelihood or hope that we might be able to get something to move?
Well, this is our last chance this year, as you well know, and hopefully we can get it passed in this Congress. I'm sure in the next session of Congress there's probably going to be a lot of interest in cutting everything, and again, you still have to keep the movie you still have to keep the economy moving at the correct pace, and hopefully we want to continue to grow our market as well.
Well, when you look at, I don't know if we're actually finished yet, but we're at least near the end of this year's crop harvest. Things kind of have changed in terms of the actual or expected or actual numbers coming in on production. But with supply that we've got and the needs we've got, how would you describe where we're at with this year's crop?
Well, this was kind of somewhat of a disappointment to a lot of people, and I think even some of the people that determined what the yields were kind of shocked by the final results. But it still is the third largest harvest we've had. Will we have enough corn for food, feed, fuel, and fiber? You betcha. We always have. We will.
Well, I know that NCGA, I'll just touch on this briefly because I know it's new, is one of the founding organizations in this new effort to help bring a consistent message to the consuming public, and that's this USFRA, U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. How would you describe how you feel as a producer looking at this effort coming together and realizing, you know, there's a lot of work to do before it really gets going?
First of all, this is a proactive program. As you know, every organization has their own reaction to certain events and certain topics. This is the first time agriculture has come together as a unified organization of agriculture, and to get crops and livestock and everybody and fruits and vegetables and chickens and all these different groups together was a monumental beginning. But what do you do? You know, I'm tired. I'm tired of extreme messages being put out there that are wrong. We have to factually say enough's enough, and I think that's what we're doing right here, right now.
Absolutely. Can't agree with you more, and really glad to see it and hope that that goes very well. I've been visiting here with Gary Niemeyer. He is First Vice President for the National Corn Growers Association.
I'll be featuring a number of interviews that I conducted at the NAFB Trade Talk during the coming week on agwire.com. Cindy has quite a few as well, so hopefully we can bring you up to date on what's going on with a lot of different companies and organizations through this effort and through the NAFB Trade Talk. Great session. Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I'm going to leave you with some music. This one is a song from Music Alley. And since it's Thanksgiving week, this is called I Heart Thanksgiving by Robert Lund. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
Well, I tried to make it Monday, but the hailstorm closed O'Hare. So I carjacked me a Hyundai, 19 hours and I'll be there. I've got no more paid vacation, and your family's always rude. But I'll bust my butt to get there for the food. Well, I keep on thinking about your sister's boys and berry pies, and the sweet potato casserole brings teardrops to my eyes. Though there's loads of carbohydrates and the fat gram counts I've seen, it's my first excuse to gorge since Halloween. Will you feed me rolls and drumsticks? Will you heap beans on my plate? Will you stuff me till my bum sticks out where your chair can't bear my weight? Though my seams are ripping, I don't mind saying I heart Thanksgiving. Well, I keep on thinking about those Pilgrims 1620 feast. It's their fault that my blood pressure and cholesterol increased. If you want help washing dishes, I've devised a brilliant plan. I'll just fall asleep and blame the tryptophan. Will you feed me till there's nothing? Will you feed me broiler loads? Will you stuff me full of stuffing until my gastric tract explodes? And if I'm still living, I'll keep on saying I heart Thanksgiving.
those cranberries, old lady. I haven't had thirds yet.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.